Do you know that we're selling Viagra on our site now?
I didn't know that.
We're not doing it. We're not selling it.
Okay.
I think we could play a new game called Everybody Stop Trying to Hack Our Website.
Obviously, it's popular.
Yeah, starting with now. Start now. Don't do it.
Okay.
I'm tired of it. I have to go in and find out this code and delete the code. Do you think I have nothing better to do than go and delete malicious code from our website so our listeners can have a nice, clean website experience?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that either. I think our listeners don't want to go on there and be sold. First of all, who sells Viagra? I think Viagra sells itself.
I think so.
I think we get it now. Some guy's going to go throw a football in through the tire swing and everybody walks off. I get it. Okay?
Okay.
So we don't, I don't think like Viagra's relying on all the walk-up traffic from the Two Hoser site.
Okay.
So please, quit hacking our site. And I'm supposed to put a better lock on it, which I think I did. But I don't see how this is on me.
Okay.
Okay. Loud and clear?
Yeah.
We're good then. Let's do the show. Hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
Not much. I'm just trying to avoid sleep to do this podcast.
Oh, sleep just gets in the way.
Yeah. No, I had a couple of cups of coffee and I should be ready to go. But, you know, right. No, nothing's going on in these parts of the world right now.
Once you have kids, how many hours of sleep do you get in a week?
I'm going to say, I don't know, 7 a night average. So whatever that is times 7, 47 and 49 hours a week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. The thing is, once you have kids, like I used to be able to, you know, sleep, you know, the odd night, you know, 9-10 hours, like sleep, a good sleep until 9 or 10. Uh-huh. Now the awakening time is like the latest you're going to wake up is 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. 7 o'clock's a great day. If you can get out of bed at 7 o'clock, you feel like you won the lottery.
Do you want to go back and talk to your 23-year-old self and explain that 7 a.m. is considered a sleep in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there are times you get home at 7.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think I ever got up before, I want to say 9, especially on a weekend. There's no way pre-kids I was getting up before 9 on a weekend.
I didn't know that there was an 8 a.m. So, yeah, no, it's one of those things. I'm functioning on, like, I don't know, 90 minutes a day or something like that. I don't know how much sleep I get. Not very much.
Right.
Yeah. Dear diary.
Yeah. We just moan about more of our everyday lives.
Ironically, our sleep stories will put everyone else to sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to Marquardt's workshop last week.
Okay.
Moments after recording the show last week, I just sprinted out of here.
You couldn't get enough of photography.
I haven't seen him in a while. What was
the title of his workshop?
I don't know. It's like an intro. It was in English, too, so I was excited. It's the first one in English in a while.
Okay.
In here in Tubingen, and so...
What was it about, if you can't tell me the title?
Intro. Like, intro to... Like, basically, hey, who wants to know what a camera does?
Okay, so this was digital film, whatever you want it to be.
It was digital. Everyone had digital.
Okay.
So it wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't one of his film ones. I see what you're getting at now.
Yes.
I see what you're getting at. He does have some very specialty ones. And no, this was just basically an intro to photography.
Okay.
And since I haven't seen him in a while, he's been busy. I've been busy. And after we recorded the podcast for last week, I popped by and had a good time.
Okay.
And I don't mean to sound that, you know, say that in a surprising fashion, but it was a basic intro to photography, like what is ISO, what is aperture, like all these things. And so, obviously, you know, I know the answers to those, but... So
you felt smart.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like going and playing t-ball. I was going to go play some wiffle ball with the kids.
With some 7-year-olds.
Yeah. It's the guy who tries too hard in the father-son game.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. No, what I felt was, I just, it was great to be around a bunch of people with similar interests. Like, and everybody kind of wants to talk about photography, and their people are sharing their photos, and here's why I picked this one, and that kind of thing. Like, because each of them had to bring three of their favorite photos that they've ever taken.
Okay.
That was the first thing they did, was, and so the whole class talked about them, and everybody's very nice to each other, of course.
How many people are in this class?
I think eight.
Okay. Yeah. So it's pretty personal. Yeah.
And so, so it was great just to be around people who share your interests, and it's a whole common thing, and there's the collective experience that I don't always get, so...
And this was just a one-day kind of intro class, or was this a weekend thing?
It was a weekend thing. I couldn't attend the whole thing, busy guy, but and it was also nice to meet everybody. And oddly, there was going around the room. Like, I had no idea who was in the room, like who would be there ahead of time. And one of the ladies said, "Oh, hi, my name is," I forget what her name was, but she's sorry.
Sorry, lady.
Yeah. Well, and then she said, "Oh, and I'm from Vancouver." I'm like, "Oh, wow, really?"
Wow.
Then we got super specific, and I asked her which neighborhood, and it was technically Lower Mainland, but still, it was nice.
Great.
Yeah. So that was good, and also got to meet one of our listeners.
Okay.
Ralph. Ralph was there. He was actually there the week before too. He took back to back. I saw him the weekend prior as well, and he's a very big fan of ours.
Okay, so now there's not exactly a ringing endorsement for our show in that if he's a listener and he still felt the need to go to the very intro to photography course, maybe we're doing something wrong?
Well, that's really glasses half empty.
Okay, so how would you have looked at it?
He likes the collective experience.
I feel like maybe he could have got that with a more... amateur to advanced level photography course.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna caution you right now. He is listening to this.
Oh no!
Right now, so you better just choose your words carefully.
Well, I'm just saying, like I'm blaming us. I'm not blaming him.
No. I understand, but he actually took Chris's advanced 24 millimeter workshop the week before.
All right, so now it's on him. Now it's on him.
Then. Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of he needs to have all these basic answers. I think he likes workshops.
Okay. All right.
He likes the collective experience, and that was it.
Maybe we could get an answer back on that, or maybe.
Okay, yeah. I'll shoot him. You know what? He'll send an email after hearing. Ralph, send us an email and let Adam know that we're doing our job.
Okay.
Or not.
Yeah, or not, or maybe just I'm not doing my job.
I think last week's show, most people were more confused about Tilt Shift after listening to the interview than before.
Okay.
So maybe we were, in that respect, probably not doing our job. But yeah, people were very confused. Anyways, so I'm going to post a picture. There's a picture of Ralph, Chris Marquardt, and me taken after the workshop last week.
Okay.
So that we'll post that on the site because Ralph sent that in. He had his camera, obviously.
Great.
Yeah. And the reason he's not really, he's actually much taller than me, but for some reason, I guess he thought I felt bad about my height. And is squatting down in the picture. He's not that short.
Okay, glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, well, no, because otherwise it actually looks kind of funny. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Did I shoot? I took a
so
few.
So no.
No.
If you have to repeat the question.
I took a few black and white photos that I just posted on Facebook an hour or two ago.
Okay, I'm going to look at them while you tell us.
Well, I didn't actually take them in black and white, but I took them under pretty much zero light with one flash in the softbox, in the gridded softbox.
Uh-huh.
And I actually had a disco light on a disco ball going, and it didn't add anything to the photos, but sort of a pinkish purplish hue and some funny kind of light on the back wall that I had. So I thought it looked much, much better in black and white. So then I went with the photos in black and white. And I think what I wanted to sort of say about the photos is, other than I really like them, was that, one light shooting in the dark is kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
it lends like a totally different feel to your photos, and especially the gridded softbox. I can't say enough about the softbox, but again, adding the grid to the softbox gives you all sorts of extra control over the light that you don't get with the umbrella or with just the plain ungridded softbox.
Mm-hmm.
So just in terms of being able to direct the spill light and where it goes, and yeah, so shooting in the dark, that's another nice thing about the Yongnuo triggers that I keep selling for free for Yongnuo. They have that focus assist beam, so you don't actually need to have a flash mounted on your camera to make use of a super awesome focus assist beam, because if you're taking photos in complete darkness, good luck trying to get focus.
Right.
So yeah, you can still shoot on an f5.6 in the dark and keep what you want in focus with those focus assist beams that work quite nicely on the triggers. So
that's yeah, it.
That's I'm it. Sold. So you didn't say anything about the photos. Do you like the photos?
I do like the photos. I think our connection is a little bit messed up here, to be fair.
Okay.
And plus, right. I was also waiting for you to stop talking.
No, I felt like I had some very important stuff to say. So
you did, and no, I like them. I love that kind of lighting technique. The really undersold,
yeah,
you know? Like really just subtle, and that's great. And it was it completely dark? Like your subjects didn't know what was going to happen until the light went off, or?
Well, they can see, I mean, like the only light in the room, I had all the blinds drawn, it was at night, it was all the lights turned off, the only light was coming from the disco ball with a purple kind of spotlight on the disco ball, so it was black, and you could see the little light, like the trail the disco ball leaves on the walls, and that was it until the light pops, and they were just kind of playing around. It was my wife's sister and my daughter, and they were just kind of dancing around, and we had music going, and they were having like a disco dance party, and I was just snapping photos as they went, and yeah, and that's what turned up.
Was it Gordon Lightfoot?
No, it was something more contemporary. The kids only know the top 40 stuff.
Okay, so Anne Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sure, it's Anne Murray.
All so things that, Canadian.
So that's it. That's all the interesting stuff I shot. Oh, and I shot a little video that I put up on Facebook. I shot it basically right after our last podcast the next day. And I talked to you that I had an idea that I wanted to take a video of my son with the Flash costume and sort of, you know, make him look super speed, because when he got the costume, this is kind of, you know, the mind of the four-year-old is, you know, he's big into superheroes. Daddy, can I get the Flash costume? And of course we got it. And then put it on, and sort of in a sort of disappointed voice was like, well, Dad, I don't get to, I'm not actually super speed when I put the costume on.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, oh, okay, well, like, you know, I think I can make that happen with a little bit of video magic. And then we sort of had a little discussion, and you being the videographer kind of had, you know, an idea. Instead of just literally filming him and speeding it up, I could put a couple of people in the scene with him and have them sort of slow down so that it looks even faster relative to sort of normal moving speed on the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I set up a little video where I put a camera on a tripod and then had my mom and my dad and my daughter kind of walk down the road in basically trying to move in slow motion, and then I had him run, and then when I sped it up, it looks like he's kind of moving in super speed, like the Flash. So I put that up on Facebook, and it got a pretty good following for a video that was just put up on Facebook to our listeners, and I think just the people I know. So
people seem to like it. Looks really good.
Yeah, so now I have a few ideas about making it a full on trailer with myself acting as the old decrepit Flash, because I also have a Flash costume. I don't know if I mentioned that on the last podcast, but
right.
We ordered two, and mine being of the skin tight variety, like the second skin type Flash costume.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking that I'm going to play the Flash, the over the hill, like
yours doesn't have built in abs?
No, I should have got the built-in abs.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have the built-in abs, so I'm just going to have to really fire off about 1,000 sit-ups from now until Halloween and then be able to get it all ready.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Yeah, so that's the plans. Again, I just like doing video. I don't do enough of it, but I am finding that I'm getting better at hitting focus. I'm getting a better eye for manual focus, which I always felt like was too difficult to do, but I'm getting practice is improving.
Good. That's what practice hopefully does.
Yeah, so I'm done talking now, so you can carry it for the rest.
I want to now. I'll talk about the trailer. I want to see the full length trailer. I want to see the. I guess it was technically an origin story because you passing the thing down to him.
Yes.
Here's the story that's gonna happen. That should happen in the trailer as I see it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a father son thing. It's you reveal that you are the Flash to your son. That'll happen in the trailer. He doesn't know you're the Flash.
Okay.
You show up in your costume a uniform, I suppose, outfit. What does a superhero have?
I would say it's my outfit.
Yeah, because I don't know that Batman calls it his outfit.
I don't think he calls it his costume either, though.
No, he doesn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he talks about accessorizing his I don't know, the bat suit. So you show up in the Flash suit and surprised, Jack's surprised because, he doesn't know that you're the Flash, right? Now he doesn't know he has superpowers. But he's already sort of discovered. All of a sudden, he can do a couple things really quickly. He'll be going along normal and then whoop. And he's kind of confused. And then you find now is the time you have to tell him that you are the Flash. And you also have to pass it down. And so then you take him in the secret closet where his Flash suit is hidden.
Right.
And you give it to him. And then at first he has trouble with the speed. And then all of a sudden by the end of the trailer, he's just zipping around like a crazy Flash.
So the scenes that I've already filmed could just be the end of the trailer,
yeah.
And then I'll build in front of that.
Yes,
I already have ideas. Like he starts brushing his teeth in front of the mirror in super speed, and he's looking at his hands like, "What the heck? How do I brush my teeth in super speed?"
So we're on the same page here.
Yeah,
good. Start storyboarding, buddy. Make this happen.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna. This is gonna appear. I'm the goal will be for Halloween. I will get this video ready for Halloween.
That's ambitious, man.
The problem with my Flash suit is I kind of have to shoot my sequences when other people are around, because once I get that suit on, I kid you not, I will not be able to get it off by myself. The zipper's up the back, and it is so tight, there is no possible way I can get that suit off without a second person around, which kind of makes it embarrassing. Because I'm not sure I want to be filming some of these scenes with others around.
No, I think you do. You'll only be in it for one or two shots, I think.
Okay.
It would be kind of cute would be like father and son Flash, walking in Steveson would be hilarious. And like just kind of holding hand in hand but you showing him how to be the Flash would be cool.
Yeah.
This sounds very ambitious, buddy.
Okay.
To do by Halloween, it's not easy. Even though you're looking at shooting for like 2 minute long, 2.5 minute long trailer,
right?
That's a fair bit of shooting. But
okay, how about I aim for next Halloween?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Yeah, I would get that done. But so we go from the Flash, and you know what I shot that was interesting. Not compared to this. This is way better, of course. Yours,
right? Of course, yeah.
I shot interior real estate photos.
Okay.
You ever done that?
No.
No. I some friends of ours are selling their apartment.
Okay.
And real estate photography isn't a big thing here. Like they always have pictures on their site, but they're not very good. Like they don't put an emphasis on good photos.
Right.
Which I kind of understand. I don't know. It's a long story, but so he asked me, and I thought, hey, he wanted some good ones, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll come out and do it, and it was kind of a cloudy day, and so sort of just a drab interior, like just kind of blah.
Yeah.
And so, some of it was nice, but it's like when you're selling it, what do you want to sell? People like sunshine, right?
Right.
So I had to bring some sunshine with me.
Okay.
So that involved a lot of, it's a ground floor apartment, so I could actually put lights outside.
Okay, yeah.
And throw a half CTO on and actually make the sun come in.
Okay, yeah.
But here's the thing, and this the only reason I bring this up, and obviously it was a wide-angle lens. I shot with the 17-40 because you really want to do is confuse people into thinking it's a mansion.
Right.
And then they get there in person and it's like, oh, wow, it's a broom closet.
Right.
Yeah, no one's ever disappointed. Kind of like my online dating profile.
Right.
Oh, this guy looks just like Brad Pitt. Not in real life.
Right.
And so anyways, but what I did was I was very, very careful to light responsibly. I found out where the sunshine would be if there was actually sunshine, like because of the other buildings around, like the light doesn't always necessarily shine directly in to the windows.
Right.
So I basically mimicked what the sunshine would do so as not to be a liar.
Okay. All right.
See?
I thought real estate was all... Well, I thought real estate was all about lying, so...
Yeah, but I'm bringing a whole new level of accountability to the industry.
Okay. Okay.
It's a revolution, buddy.
If you ever think that it's a good idea to do a podcast about real estate photography, Dwayne does a ton of real estate photography.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So I'm sure he could, you know, get to a little bit more specific. So I'm pretty sure he does lots of it because I think one day we had a big conversation about what he does for real estate photography. And I remember him saying he does a lot. He uses a lot of flashes. So
okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, does he light responsibly? That's the question.
I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have to let him answer that.
Yep. Yep. So it's like you bring your buyers by whenever the subway's not running or, you know, like whenever the train doesn't run past.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, it's quiet. No, that those tracks, no, those are abandoned. Don't even worry about those.
I think there's maybe a possible Two Hosers t-shirt in that. Please light responsibly.
Blam.
Blam.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Young Nuo. Yeah. All right. This week's photo challenge. Right. I didn't properly name it last week. It was I think the best thing is to call it the panning blur.
The panning blur.
Yeah. That'd be effect. I it's one of those things that I always know how to do it. I just didn't know what it was called.
Okay.
And so that was the thing I was trying to get at. And so, it was a panning blur. Now, I don't know if you actually did that or not.
No, gosh, no.
No. So you didn't actually do the pan blur. So that one's really not really on you. The effect is very similar. Sort of what you did.
Okay.
Kind of, not really. In fact, I'm just being nice here. It's not, but again, I was not clear.
No worries. I'm not taking any offense.
No, I don't think you ever have.
No.
Yeah. That's the beauty of offense. If you don't really care what the other person thinks, you don't get offended. Yeah. I think you're a jerk. All right.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, let's do mine first, and we'll get into yours then.
Okay.
And so I wanted to create that effect. Like when you talked about, you know, Jack getting the Flash costume, I thought that'd be perfect. Now we can have him run and you can create a still photo that looks like he's moving at an incredible rate of speed. Now, how do we do that?
Right.
And I thought, panning blur, man, this is a fun one that you can use for a lot of different things. All of them to convey motion, really. And so I had a friend of mine here. That's Magic Mike there.
Okay.
On the bike. I had him come by because I tried to get a picture of my kid on her bike, but she was uncooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had Mike come by and basically shot this, just him moving along. This is all in camera, absolutely zero Photoshop. The end.
Okay, so just tell us how you did it.
Well, that's what the whole show is going to be about today.
Okay, so then don't spoil it.
Yeah, no. We're going to keep people listening to the end.
Okay, so can I just say that I like the photo and that's it?
Great. Yeah. What do you like about it?
I like that it looks like it's moving.
I would have loved you to say, oh, I love his green jacket.
No, I like the graffiti. I just, it's a kind of a neat effect.
Yeah.
The color contrast between the back and the front, there's some good separation, even though, like, otherwise, I think if you didn't have the green on the blue, then it might end up looking a little bit flat,
mm-hmm.
but you get the separation from the contrast between the green jacket with the graffiti on the wall.
Right.
Yeah, so that's it.
So this is done with a panning blur. Now let's have a look at yours. Yours is, I'm guessing, a little bit of Photoshop.
Yeah, mine is Photoshop. Like, the photo was taken on sort of the gray background paper, so a good chunk of this photo is real.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I did was I really wanted the effect of it looking like sort of a comic book flash running blur behind him. And my son Jack sort of asked, oh, after he saw the video, which he personally loved and must have watched about 20 times of himself, said, well, what about a photo of me in super speed? And I said, well, now you're pushing it. and so what I did is I took the photo, which you can see, you know, the sharp part of this photo is all the real photo taken on the gray background paper, which, you know, where the flash went is where the sort of big white splash of light is behind him, and the gray is the rest of it. And then I just kind of, in Photoshop, I took like the color from his chest and from his costume, and I just streaked them just kind of with a paintbrush. So I just kind of make streaked in. I kind of wanted to give it a little bit of shape. So again, this is the artistic, my artistic side. I just kind of basically paintbrushed that effect, except for it doesn't look like that until I apply, you know, the old trick from the Zoom Burst episode, the radial blur.
Mm-hmm.
So I used the zoom because I kind of wanted to take it back to something that we've already explained before. And I just applied a radial blur effect to the whole photo, including what I'd painted on behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of makes it look a little bit more comic book-ish real. And it also kind of gives that, I don't know what you want to call it, but that secondary image of him in two other different spots that kind of looks like the effect that you get if you get it right in camera with a slow shutter speed. So, yeah, so basically it was just done with one filter and a little bit of a paintbrushing tool, and then that's it.
I like it. No, it's very, very good effect. It's not quite the same as you would achieve if you were doing a panning. It's a little, because you obviously, it's difficult to get his streaks in there.
Yes.
That's something you could do. You could actually do something cool like that. It's not easy to do to make it look that much of a streak, that dark red.
Yeah.
But that is something you could do with like a second curtain shutter.
Right.
You could do something funky like that in camera. But
yes,
not quite this. This is definitely the movie poster looking stuff where, you know, it's Photoshop, but it looks cool, so who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually did give it a try because when I filmed the movie, or sorry, the little video that I did of him in the flash, I did try about 5 shots with a longer shutter and a second curtain sink, which I found out I could only do with the flash on camera. Like, I can't do a second curtain sink with my off camera flashes.
Right.
It won't do it. So I tried with a first curtain sink, and again, I didn't have a good background. I couldn't get the shot I wanted in the 2 minutes I had to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just cut my losses and just did, just like, again, went the other route.
Right. No, yeah. Looks good.
So
let's talk about how to do it in camera. The panning zoom, or not the panning zoom, the panning blur.
Okay.
That's what the show's about this week.
All right.
Okay, here we go. So normally when you're shooting action stuff, you most times you want to stop the action.
Yes.
Right? And so, you know, that means a very fast shutter speed.
Correct.
But now what if we want to go the other way and convey motion? Slow shutter speed.
Okay.
That's it. That's the whole thing. Just slow shutter.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Okay.
So let me know how it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is, first off, how slow a shutter speed?
Oh, here we go. That's the thing is, if you go too slow, aren't you going to get a blurry subject?
That's what I would think.
Yes. You probably will. Of course you will. Maybe you could just use image stabilization to fix that.
Okay.
No, you can't. The answer was no. You're still going to get a blurry subject. What about tripod?
Probably do a little bit better.
You can do better. The camera will be held still, but your subject is still going to be blurry because it's slow shutter.
Right.
Okay. So let's say what we're going to do is use the slow shutter, and we're going to pan. You know what panning is versus tilting?
Yes.
Okay. Well, not everybody does.
You're going to move the camera with the subject.
Right. So when you have your camera on a tripod, this is a little video lingo for you. because not everybody gets this right. Everybody seems to know what panning is. That's moving the camera left or right, like turning it, pivoting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Up and down is you're tilting.
Okay.
But a lot of people say, hey, pan up. That's not a thing. It's tilt up. But it's, we know what you mean, so I don't really get into it.
Except you are.
No, I am now, but on the set, I don't correct anybody. I don't say, listen, technically, it's called tilting up.
Right.
You know, I don't bother with that. Just say, you got it, Chief.
Okay.
So panning is, yes, you're moving left or right as if you're on a tripod. Now, you don't have to be on a tripod. In fact, I didn't shoot on a tripod, this one.
Okay.
But the idea is that you're shooting a moving object and you're panning with it. You're going to keep your subject in the same part of the frame the entire length of the shot.
Okay.
Which is easy to do when it's 1/4,000th of a second. It's just instantaneous. It stays, the subject stays there. But let's say you got someone moving along in front of you, walking, and you have a 1 second shutter speed. You're going to have to move the camera with them to keep them in the, let's say, the center of the frame. Doesn't always have to be the center of the frame, but for the sake of ease, let's just call it the center right now. So to keep them in the center of the frame, you're going to have to move the camera with them.
Okay.
That's all we're doing. Now, ideally, they're going, because they're staying in the center, they're going to be sharp the whole time. But the background is moving across your sensor, so it will be blurred.
Right.
That's what we're going for. Now, your question, we'll get back to it because it was the most important one. What shutter speed are we looking for?
I guess it kind of depends on how fast the subject's moving.
That's true. For instance, you know, my buddy on the bike, what would you guess would be a shutter speed on that?
Like based on how sharp the photo is, and probably, I'm going to say like 1/50th of a second.
I think you're probably almost bang on. It might have been 1/40th, but I think that one actually was 1/50th.
Okay.
So bang on. Now, the instinct is to go really low and say, okay, you know, like we talked about quite a few episodes ago, hey, some is good, more must be better. I'm just going to put it on bulb and run with it, you know?
Yeah.
That ends up, even at like half a second or a quarter of a second, in a lot of instances, the effect will be minimized because you're going to get way too much blur.
Yeah. I was going to say, your photo of the guy on the bike is way too sharp to be done at much lower than that. That's why I went with 1/50th of a second.
And let me tell you, that wasn't one and done.
Right.
That took a lot to get that exact sharpness. Because even at 1/50th, I'm still getting blur. Like I had to have him actually stop pedaling. Like just pedal fast and then glide. Otherwise, his legs would be moving. And so we would see motion blur on his legs and that. And so I wanted that sort of effect.
Right.
I mean, you can have the legs moving effect. It's just a pure choice. It's you know, there's no right or wrong. So generally, you're going to start, there's a lot of factors that go in, but look to start somewhere in the 1/30th to 1/60th range. And you'll be surprised how much blur you get in the background.
Okay.
Next thing is when you're going to shoot. I mean, what subjects could you imagine besides a bike? Could you imagine shooting with this effect?
Cars.
Car's a great one.
People running.
Yeah, that one's tough because you are going to get that leg blur, like the motion blur on the arms and the legs as they pump their arms or whatever. Will still look good. It'll still look really cool.
Someone surfing, and that's what, maybe. I think,
I'm sorry?
I said someone surfing.
That would be difficult. Yes. I've never seen one like that. That would be difficult. But
just because I think the water would look very cool. And I mean, with a lot of surfers, you know, I think it'd be a very predictable movement pattern for you to follow.
Right. I've never seen the surfing one, but you hit on something important. Is predictable patterns are very important.
And I'm thinking more likely like windsurfing than, you know, the guys cutting back and forth and all sorts of different erratic patterns on a wave. But windsurfing would be a pretty predictable one.
I guess you're going to head on down to Jericho then.
Yeah, maybe.
And snap some of these. That would actually look pretty cool. That would actually look really cool.
With the mountains and everything.
Ideally, if you get to set your subject up, or even if you're just doing street photography, it's nice if the subject basically moves perpendicular to your camera. Meaning they're going to move across the frame.
Okay.
Now, the main reason for that is it's much easier to maintain focus, because as we talked about many, many episodes ago, focus is based on distance. And so if the distance of your subject to your camera doesn't change, focus will not change.
Right.
But if you're over the course of your exposure, if your subject starts, 5 meters away and ends up 2 meters away, first of all, if it's a car, you're going to want to get out of the way. But other than that, the focus is going to shift so much that that's adding a whole nother layer to your image. That's going to be difficult to do.
Skateboarding would look cool.
Skateboarding. I bet you ice skating would look good.
Yeah, skating for sure.
So when you go for hockey, that will be something that would look really good. And so ideally you'll have your subject move across your frame. Okay. First of all, like I said, easier to focus, but also you'll end up getting the greater movement across the background. Because your subject, if your subject's moving towards you, you're not going to be panning in much of an arc, and thus the background won't move as much.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have it. So you want to have it move across. Okay.
Okay.
So here's the technique. You get that dialed in, get your exposure dialed in, which oftentimes, if you're outside, means ISO 100 and f/16,
mm-hmm.
in order to achieve 1/30th of a second shutter speed, depending on the weather.
Right.
Whatever it takes to get down there to that shutter speed, you do. And now, so you got that dialed in. Now you decide, okay, how do I shoot this subject? Well, when I had my buddy on the bike go by, I didn't just point the camera where I wanted to take the picture and wait for him. I basically followed him all the way down the street. Like he started way down the street, and I followed him, even though I knew I wouldn't take his picture at that point. I was panning with him the entire way to create the smooth motion.
Now, are you panning with him down the street and just holding the shutter button down and just working this continuously, or you waiting for a spot?
Something in between. I do shoot on the burst mode. Like basically, I'm going to shoot two photos on burst, maybe three. But no, I'm not shooting at the beginning. What I am doing is I'm watching him come. I'm waiting for a spot that I have pre-focused on.
Right.
That's the move. If you can do it, that's nice. You can't always do it. If you want to shoot guys in a bike race or hockey or whatever it is, you can't always pre-focus. In that case, you have to rely on your autofocus or your, on the servo mode.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I was pre-focused so that we could get this. And I basically wait, like it's like a trap. I'm waiting for him to enter this zone.
Right.
But I am panning with him. Instead of just picking him up at the beginning of the zone, I'm panning the whole way. So right. That it's a nice fluid motion. And once he hits the first spot, enters the zone, I fire off a burst of three, and I pan with him all the way through. Even though I know I'm done, I pan with him all the way through on the follow through.
And why do you do that?
Do you play golf?
Yes.
Okay. Do you stop your swing when you hit the ball?
No.
No, you go right. That would look awesome. You would not be a good golfer.
I'd probably hurt my shoulder if I tried to stop my swing.
Well, that's when you swing with such power, then yes. Yeah, I've seen you. You're consistently 160, 180 off the tee. That's pretty impressive. Oftentimes, you get it past those red tee blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm super happy.
Oftentimes. And then it's just really just an 8-iron in. You ever play golf with guys who just really overestimate their distance? They'll be like 190 yards out, and be like, "All right, yeah, hand me the it's about a half sand wedge."
No, I haven't come across that.
Well, you have, but we'll talk after the show. So you don't stop your golf swing there. You don't stop your baseball swing. Same with a slap shot in hockey. You follow through, and that's what you do in this. Remember to follow through. Just follow through with your subject. Now, you're going to get smoother pans that way. That's the idea.
Okay.
And that's it. And then the last little tip there is just practice. is because it takes an awful lot of practice to get dialed in on this, and even so, you're still not going to nail it every time.
Now, does it help to have your camera on a tripod that has some kind of panning head?
That can help. I find that for the most part, I prefer to handhold it.
Yeah.
In this case, if you do have a video head, like a nice fluid panning head, that would be helpful. In certain situations, I mean, it depends. If your subject's moving very quickly, then you have to consider that. Like if it's a car, you know, then probably not going to help you. It might. Do you want a specific answer?
No, I just wanted to listen to you ramble for about 30 seconds.
Whew. Okay. Well, more importantly is, in the advanced stuff, is your choice of lens. It'll work with any lens. It'll work with a wide-angle lens. But just based on the physics of it, the effect will be more pronounced with a telephoto lens.
Okay.
Because your background is going to move further across your sensor, technically. Like, percentage-wise, this is really hard physics to do. I think
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Okay. I shot this with the bike one with the 70 to 200 at probably around 100 mils. Knowing full well that means it's going to be a little more difficult to keep your subject sharp for a couple of reasons. One, it's harder to hold that camera, that lens still. Even though you're not holding it still, but you still don't want any bumps in it. You still want a nice smooth panning. But you also need to stand further back from your subject. Correct?
Right. Yeah.
Like if I was shooting with a 17 mil, I could be standing basically my toes on the sidewalk there.
Right.
And get the similar framing of him. Now, what that would mean would be he probably wouldn't be moving very far relative to my position, like in an arc.
Right.
Whew. So that's
I'm with you. I'm
okay.
With you.
Now the other thing to consider is the distance of your subject to the background.
Right, and we talked about that with your photo.
Right,
it can end up looking flat, I think, pretty easily.
Well, there's that too, but in terms of the distance and how much blur happens.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If your subject is relatively close to your background,
not a lot of blur.
It's not as much because you know, the arc is almost the same.
Right.
You know, it depends on how long you're open. But if you think about, you know, like the arc in a circle, like concentric circles, the further you get away, the larger the circles are.
Right.
Correct? So that arc will move much further relative to your sensor the further it is away. So in this case, I just couldn't shoot with it further away, the way the architecture at this particular place is laid out, I had to be up close. That was just how it was.
Okay.
I would have pulled him away a little bit just to create a more of a blur effect. You don't always get to choose those situations. So, faster subject. What does it mean if your subject is very, very fast? Like, for instance, if you're going to shoot Jack running and at shutter speed A, and then you're going to go to the Vancouver Indy, which doesn't exist anymore, and shoot race cars, you're going to have shutter speed B. What are those going to be? What would you expect shutter speed wise?
So if I'm shooting Jack at, you mean at like 1/30th of a second, I might be shooting the race car at 1/200th of a second in this situation?
Exactamundo. That's probably what you're going to end up doing, is because you're going to get great effect. If something's moving very, very quickly, you're going to get a very good effect even at 1/100th or 1/200th or something like that. So that's going to so the speed of your subject is going to dictate your shutter speed.
Right.
Now you might be able to get something cool at 1/30th with a race car, but it's going to take you an awful lot of shots to get one with the subject reasonably sharp.
Right.
So, And lastly, as we touched on a minute ago, a predictable path is a necessity. Even if you don't set up your subject, even if you don't set this up like I did, but it's nice to know, like, if Jack's playing hockey, you know generally where he's going to skate.
Right.
And that's kind of key. Otherwise, you're so much guessing going on, which is fine. Like, if you're shooting a bike race or something like that, you generally know the guys aren't going to be moving, you know, laterally very, very quickly in that 1/30th of a second. You're going to get pretty good results.
Now, what difference is made by the aperture? So now, in a perfect world, because now, you know, we've got neutral density filters and all sorts of ways to control the light to get down to that 1/30th or 1/50th of a second or whatever your chosen shutter speed is, what would be the ideal kind of aperture for one of these shots?
Well, the ideal aperture for anything is f/8.
Okay, and you would say that would hold true for this as well?
Yeah, I think I shot at f/8, as a matter of fact.
Because if you're getting the blur background anyways as a result of the camera movement, it's not like you would necessarily need to be shooting an f/4 to enhance that effect.
Correct. And in fact, you're probably going to be hamstringing yourself.
To keep the subject in focus.
Yeah, you'd rather have a little bit more depth of field to deal with. That's what I prefer.
Right.
Now, I mean, if you can get it down there and shoot that, it would be a cool looking effect, but it's not as necessary, like you said.
Okay.
Now, one other method, when I was checking out some pictures online, something that I didn't realize was a thing. Obviously, I think I've done it before myself, but didn't realize. And you've done this probably as well. Have you ever shot on like a carousel, the horror animals that go up and down? It's a carousel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Merry-go-round.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. If you shoot at slow shutter speed, if you're on the merry-go-round with your kids, you're going to keep them relatively in the center of the frame, and the background's going to be whipping around for you. You don't even have to pan. You just got to hold the camera on your kid.
Right.
And the background's going to pan automatically. So apparently a whole lot of people are doing this, especially on the merry-go-rounds at the playground with their kid.
Makes sense.
Just stand in the middle, have your kid hold on the outside, spin around and smile, and you're going to get a great effect. So this is kind of the starter class on how to start doing this.
You know, the other place I've seen that kind of photo, and I mean, it never really registered with me exactly until now, is, you know, that old playground equipment where the thing, you know, there's kind of like a crisscross bar in the middle and you kind of like run and then you jump on it.
I'm having trouble picturing that.
I don't know what the name of it is, but now they have a much more advanced version where you can stack kids like, you know, 12 feet high, and you run and you kind of hold on to the thing, and then you, like, usually one kid runs around for a minute and they take turns and the other kids just stand in the middle and just go for the ride.
Sure.
No, you don't have that in Germany?
I don't know.
It's like, it was standard equipment in our day. It was like the teeter-totter and then one of those things. I don't know what the name of it is.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, well, that seems like it would be the perfect opportunity to try this. You don't have to necessarily go to the carnival, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So these are all different ideas that you can get started out with. So this is kind of, it's actually a lot of fun, and your kids will probably like it a lot too. And so this is what I should have explained better last week on the challenge.
Okay, so go out and do it this week, is that what you're saying?
You should do it on your own this week. I'd like to see some. And even like last week, you said, hey, remember, would you use the Pro Mist filter on portraits? Hank,
right.
Can you take a picture with and without? I will have that for next week.
Okay.
I did do that, but I didn't like the actual particular photo I took. So I'm not going to share that one. I'm going to do it again.
Oh. Okay.
And so similarly for next week, even though it's not our photo challenge, if you get a chance to try one of these with whatever situation you find yourself in, love to see it.
Okay.
Okay. Whew. Any questions about panning blur?
No, but it sounds like it'll be more useful than the zoom burst.
It is more useful. I like the results better too. The zoom burst looks like you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
I think.
And it's a good effect to use maybe once a year.
Yeah.
If you happen to have just the right situation for it, but right. It isn't something that you're going to get a lot of play out of, as opposed to this, I could see this coming up more often.
Right. No, half my wedding album is Zoom blurs. Zoom bursts. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. That's why I did them in post, though. I just thought it looked cool.
Right.
No, it, you're right. It doesn't come up. Now, this kind of thing, again, with you know, your kids playing sports, that's something that really, it plays to good effect there, you know, and because you're doing it in camera, I find it doesn't look as overdone as if you're doing it later. Now, there's ways to fake it in post, but I didn't bother researching them because I do it in camera.
Okay.
So I'm sure, Adam, if you're interested, you can find out.
No, I'm not really interested.
You know what I tell people whenever people ask me questions now? Your Google is as good as mine.
And again, another t-shirt right there.
Yeah, well, we just advertise for Google. I don't think they need it. We're busy advertising for Viagra and Cialis, evidently. Thanks, guys. So that's it. Next week's photo challenge, though, we got a little something called Herbst coming up. Just kidding. Okay. It's pronounced Herbst, and it means autumn. Fall. Great. We got fall coming.
Yeah,
and when you think of fall, you think, man, landscapes are sure nice this time of year.
Right.
So go shoot a landscape. That's the challenge.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just say in advance, I'm terrible at this, so I'm going to try to do a job that is a little less than terrible.
We're going to try to get somebody on the show. I believe the plan is next week. We'll see how schedules work out. We're looking to get Big Don, UConn Don, back on the show to tell us how to take good landscape shots.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's not so much so simple as just point your camera at a landscape and walk away.
Because that's what I'm going to do.
That's what I'm going to do too. So, and I'm going to add a zoom burst into it. So that's it. So until then, that's what you're going to go shoot, landscape photo.
Okay.
With a little side homework, a little bonus work with the zoom burst, with the panning blur.
Okay, and if I do a panning blur, I'll throw it up on Facebook.
Can't wait. Even if it's before next week, that'd be great.
Okay.
Amazon, we didn't mention it at the top of the show. I forgot.
You just added in after.
Nah, I'm not going to bother. People know. People are very, very good, great about this. They're telling us that they shop on Amazon. I don't even know if they do shop at Amazon, but they tell us they do, and that's good enough for me.
Anybody who buys their Yong Nuo triggers on Amazon should let us know, so that when I go pitch the Yong Nuo people with that they should be a sponsor of our website, then we know who has bought Yong Nuo triggers.
Listen, I'm going to take that one step further. If anybody buys their Yong Nuo on Amazon and, like, through us, and writes a review of the Yong Nuo triggers on, like, you can write reviews on Amazon.
Okay.
If someone is going to the trouble to do that, maybe mention that you heard about it from us. That would probably grease the skids with the good folks over at Yong Nuo.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody actually takes the time to write a review, if that's involved or not.
I'm in some of my spare time, I think about great things that I should do.
Oh yeah.
And then I don't do them.
Really?
Yeah, like I really in the back of my mind think, oh, you know what, I should really just write a letter to Yong Nuo, just kind of, you know, explaining that we have a podcast and that I really like their triggers, that I have a bunch of them, that I've pitched them, that listeners have told me they've bought them. How would you like to be a sponsor of our podcast? Because I'm advertising for you anyways, but maybe I'll stop doing that.
Yeah, the threatening part, that's the way I'd go.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It's all about threat. Isn't that how you parent?
Yes. Yes, yes. Oh, I'm big carrot and the stick, and P.S., there's no carrot.
I'm turning this bus around right now.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even drive a bus.
I frequently, my big thing normally is, hey, do you want me to kill Santa Claus? Yeah. That's, and then, okay. I think I've said too much about my parenting technique.
Right.
Because he's Saint Nick over here. They don't even have Santa Claus.
Yeah, that, no one's going to believe that story.
He's referred to as Nicholas, so or Weihnachtsmann. Believe it or not, Christmas man.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
We've been over that on our Christmas show. And P.S., that's more content for this year's show.
Okay.
So we'll keep that. So Amazon, keep buying stuff there. And websites. Do you like websites, Adam?
I do.
Oh, good. Tell us where people can find your stuff.
Viagra.com.
You know, I'm going to hack the Viagra site and just put ads for two hosers.
Yeah, no, they're probably got better security than we do.
Yeah, I think their password isn't pass. Pass 1234. Wow, we really cracked that one.
Yeah. Twohosers.com. I've got some stuff there, and only what you post because I don't post anything. Oh, that's right. Facebook, Two Hosers, and SchwartzChronicles.com. That's my stuff. How about yours?
AlanAttridge.com, where you can find my my personal site. But for the two of us, and everything you need to know is at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links. And coming up shortly, I have a few ideas for some videos I'm going to be producing as soon as my schedule frees up.
Are any of them going to be a father-son flash video? Because then you'd be like the guy that ripped off my idea from Hungary or wherever.
Oh, there's more to that story. We just didn't get to it, did we?
No. I've spoken enough already.
All right. Well, we'll see if there's any developments by next week. I want to hear about it.
You know what the funny thing is about the Flash? So this is kind of again going back to the Flash, but somebody is in pre-production of a Flash movie that I want to say is scheduled to be released in 2016, and there's no cast or anything yet. Mm-hmm. But there is a trailer that I saw on YouTube.
Really? Oh, is it a fan trailer?
I'm not sure if it's a fan. It doesn't look like a fan trailer.
You don't know who's playing the Flash?
No, they don't have a cast for it. So, and again, they just have, like, it's all, you know, masked up, so you could be anyone, right?
Sure. Well, then technically I could play the Flash.
Yeah, you could. You could be up for it.
I could be up. I don't even know it yet.
But I'm also thinking that, and again, some guy in Hungary is going to rip off the idea. I'm thinking that if I come up with a decent Flash trailer, based on the fact that there is a movie upcoming in a couple years, I'm pretty sure it would do all right on YouTube.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah. But somebody will put it up before I can. And
here's what I would do if I was you. I would go and look at some of the early Spider-Man trailers, like from the first remake in 2002 that Sam Raimi did.
Yeah.
Go check out the trailer, and I would mimic that somewhat. I mean, not the whole story, but like just that the sort of style, the way, how long the shots are, because the cuts happen very quickly. And there is a story to the trailer, and they'll hint at it, and they do a very good job. Now, I don't remember that trailer specifically, but I happen to love Sam Raimi's movies.
Do you think maybe he'll shoot my Flash trailer?
I don't think he's really busy. He walked away from Spider-Man.
Yeah, so.
So I don't know what he's up to, but no, I very, very much like his movies, and I'll bet you that trailer is a great example of a good trailer.
Okay.
Versus some of the ones you see now, I don't like as much. But that's it. Go mimic that, Adam. Go do a little research, and you're good.
Okay.
So there's that, and there has to be a love interest too. So you give it a cast that well too.
Okay.
So I'm assuming in your love interest. Otherwise, it's creepy.
Right.
Okay. Whew. Let's end on creepy. Okay, that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.